Welcome to the Terrorist Therapist Show on Renegade Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Carol. Though you may not realize that the ongoing threat of terrorism is affecting your life and that of your loved ones. Each week, Dr. Carol analyzes the hottest topics in terror and helps you and your family reach your dreams despite living in a time of terror.
Charlie Hebdo cover of Meghan Markle, Lost in Translation. Welcome to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carol, a psychiatrist and your terrorist therapist. Well, yes, I'm sure by now you have heard about the infamous Charlie Hebdo cover. It is a cover that I'll describe to you in a minute with Meghan Markle, the star of the cover. And the internet, and really all over, online and offline, people are just going crazy about this. And it's because they are misinterpreting it. When I say going crazy, I mean primarily people are, you know, furious, and not everybody, but people who, you know, we have lost our sense of humor these days, and everything is being looked at as being non-PC or being something that needs to be canceled. You know, satire is a very sophisticated art, and it's a very French art. And the magazine Charlie Hebdo, which has been around for years, is a satirical magazine, and it brings forth this French tradition of satire. But the problem is that these days, people are not in a satirical mood, I guess, except for perhaps late night TV shows where they expect that. But in any case, let me explain why people are misinterpreting it, why they're translating it wrong. And remember, in case you haven't heard me say this before, I lived in France, I lived in Paris for years, and I also lived in London. So I have I have my finger on the pulse of what really is going on in the minds of the French and of the British. And I have been outraged about the Meghan Markle interview, actually, the interview with Oprah that appeared on CBS. Before this Charlie Hebdo cover, I was already doing a lot of television and radio interviews and talking about how outrageous it is. And I'll get to that, why it's outrageous and so on. But let me just, so I tweeted today when I heard all this kerfuffle about the Charlie Hebdo magazine, which, by the way, I love. You know, I love their satire. And they have paid dearly for continuing to promote freedom of speech. And I'm going to tell you about that as well. So anyhow, today I tweeted, meaning of Charlie Hebdo magazine cover is being lost in translation. It mocks Meghan Markle's false claims of racism, not racism itself. This satirical magazine has paid for its freedom of speech with terror attacks over Mohammed cartoons. And then I put the hashtag Je suis Charlie. That was the hashtag that after the terror attacks, people used on Twitter and other social media platforms to show that we are for freedom of speech. Now that's a hard thing to be for these days with cancel culture. And satire is on life support in today's cancel culture world. So we all need to be grateful to Charlie Hebdo for fighting on for the freedom of speech despite all the terror attacks that they have received, not to mention all the controversy. Of course, they love stirring up the controversy, but again, people are freaking out because they think it's racist, which it isn't. So this is the cover, in case you haven't seen it yet. You can always go to my Twitter feed and look at it, or you can find it all over the internet. It is a picture of the Queen of England with her foot on top of Meghan Markle's neck. Now, of course, the idea is it is a satire of George Floyd. We know that George Floyd, whose trial has just begun, was a Black man, was attacked, was had, I don't want to say killed, so he hasn't been found guilty yet, but a Black man, let's do it this way, a white police officer is on trial currently for putting his foot on the neck of, or his foot or his hand, a part of him on the neck of George Floyd for almost 9 minutes, which caused George Floyd to not be able to breathe. And that is, well, you know, it's a question as whether it was murder or what it actually was. But in any case, in this picture, the Charlie Hebdo picture, it says, "Pourquoi Meghan a quitté Buckingham?" Why did Meghan leave Buckingham? Buckingham Palace, of course. And then she is on the ground. She's kneeling. The Queen is kneeling. I guess that's what Chauvin did, the police officer. He kneeled on George Floyd. And so in this cartoon on the cover of Charlie Hebdo, the Queen is kneeling on Meghan's neck. And so she says, Meghan, you know, there's a little balloon above Meghan for what she said. And it says, Parska, wait a second. Parska, je ne pouvais plus respirer, because I can no longer breathe. So that's what, that is what was said by George Floyd when the policeman put his knee on his neck and he, you know, said, "I can't breathe." And that's, of course, you know, on all the t-shirts and all of that, "I can't breathe." So this is the cartoon. Meghan is saying, "I can't breathe," and the Queen is kneeling on her neck. Now, I will admit it is not a very flattering cartoon of the Queen. Or of Meghan, for that matter. But so people, especially people in the UK, are freaking out because they're angry at making fun of the Queen in any kind of sense. And I think the Queen is amazing. I think she's a very classy lady, a lady who has managed to rule over her country and the Commonwealth. And she is not racist. Even Meghan and Harry in their interview with Oprah said that, well, I'll get to that, but they purposely said that it wasn't the Queen or Prince Philip who they are alleging are racist within the royal family. So this cartoon is not saying that the Queen is, I mean, that's not the intent of it really, to say that the Queen is racist, but no one, you know, I will admit that, you know, the French, I think something is literally lost in translation here. And people are just so quick to think that it's something bad, that it's something racist. So it's a combination of the language and of the fact that people want to, you know, jump on everything and say that that it's racist and to cancel it. So that is the cartoon, and I do suggest that you look at it for yourself, and you can, you know, if you haven't yet, and you can make your own opinions about it. Of course, he's like combining the Queen of England, Meghan Markle, and George Floyd all in one cartoon. But one has to look at the whole history of Charlie Hebdo, the magazine, the cartoons. I mean, remember, and I'm going to be reminding you a little bit about the history later in terms of terrorism, and this is the same magazine that put countless pictures of the Prophet Muhammad on its cover. And of course, the the payback or for that, or the reaction to that was several terrorist attacks, more than one terror attack. And in one of them, the major one in 2015, there were 12 people in the office of Charlie Hebdo killed. So think about that. You know, they lost their staff, a large part of their staff, 12 people. And yet they are going on doing what they think is right, which is standing up for freedom of speech, and which is trying to make a point in this cartoon that Meghan Markle was making false claims of racism. So, you know, satire is a very powerful means of making political statements or making cultural statements, societal statements. It's very powerful. Of course, the only problem is you have to interpret it correctly to get what it means. But in this case, people are just going for like the simplistic way of looking at it or reacting. They're just reacting the way, this is the way our culture has been going, with same way they react to Seuss, Dr. Seuss, you know, the same thing with jumping on Dr. Seuss, jumping on Mr. Potato Head, Mrs. Potato Head, and all of the all the cancel culture things, which, you know, send me up a wall, and I hope they send you up a wall too. So that is the frame of mind that they are looking at this. Plus, it's in French. So unless you know French well, and again, it's pourquoi Meghan a quitté Buckingham? Why did Meghan leave Buckingham Palace? And as she is saying in this cartoon, because I could no longer breathe, just like George Floyd. All right, well, we'll take a break right now. When we come back, I'm going to talk to you about the interview by Oprah of Meghan Markle and Harry. And you will see, if you've watched the interview, you will understand what I'm talking about when I say that it was false claims of racism on the part of Meghan. All right, well, stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carol, your terrorist therapist. We're talking today about Charlie Hebdo, the Charlie Hebdo cover of Meghan Markle, Lost in Translation. Everybody, or I don't want to say everybody, because fortunately it's not everybody. I mean, I think, for example, the French get it. I don't think there are a lot of French people who are as outraged as the British, because the British are missing the subtleties. You know, that is part of it too, the words. You know, that you do have to kind of get the subtlety of it. And as I said, it isn't a very flattering picture of the Queen that I wish they hadn't. I wish they had made but you know, in satire, you exaggerate things to kind of make your point. But, and so my premise here is that I'm trying to explain how the reaction, the outraged reaction is not getting the satire. And that it's really about Meghan's false claims of racism. So now let me go to the interview that Oprah had of Meghan and Harry. An interview which, to begin with, I had hoped and tried to call for to be postponed because Prince Philip was in the hospital. He's been recovering. He had heart surgery and is recovering. And I think, quite frankly, that it was the portent of this interview with Oprah that made Prince Philip get sick in the first place. And I think Meghan broke his heart. So, okay, now, the interview was really nauseating. I made myself sit through it all 2 hours because I knew I was gonna want to comment on it. But it was really very painful to continue to watch. I know for some people it's taboo, just like the Charlie Hebdo cover, to point out the fallacies in Meghan's diatribe, but I can't sit by and watch her statements being swallowed whole, everybody believing it. Unfortunately, not everybody does believe it. There are, and especially after the interview, there have been a lot of people coming out showing, pointing out, I mean, proving that a lot of things that she said were lies. So now, there were two main bombshells, one that had to do with suicide and one that had to do with skin color. So, of course, the cartoon in Charlie Hebdo was relating to the skin color issue because they were connecting it to George Floyd and the current ongoing trial of Chauvin, the policeman, who is charged with George Floyd's death. So, okay, so here, let's talk about the suicide bombshell, first of all, that Megan said. Megan would have us believe that she didn't want to live anymore at some time during her pregnancy because she was allegedly told that her baby wouldn't be given a title and wouldn't be given security, and because someone was questioning how dark her baby would be. Now, she also said that, let me point out that since the interview, it has been pointed out by people who, you know, close to the royal family, that in fact, historically and traditionally, her baby, no matter what color the baby's skin, would not have been given, was not entitled to a title or security. That's just the way it is in the protocol. And so now she also said that she went to someone connected to the royal family and they told her that she couldn't get help for her alleged suicidal thoughts because she wasn't an employee. Now, there was no reason for her to go to someone close to the royal family to ask for help. And so this is why this is all a fallacy. She didn't have to ask permission unless she was trying to ask them to pay for her treatment of sorts. She also said that she was, you know, what was she going to do? Take an Uber to get to treatment, wherever it was that she was thinking she might go for treatment? Well, this is all pretty ridiculous because Harry has been a strong supporter of mental health issues for years now. And he has talked about how he got therapy to try to cope with his mother's death, and that it was really very helpful, which is also part of the reason why he has been devoting himself to causes related to mental health. So if you are feeling suicidal, he would be a good person to tell about it. And she alleges that she did tell him, and all what he did was comfort her when they went to Royal Albert Hall for some kind of an event. He squeezed her hand. Now, Harry would be overly sensitive, very sensitive, especially since she was carrying his baby. Do you think Harry would want her to die or his baby to die? He would have been very sensitive if he felt for a second that she really was seriously thinking of committing suicide. He would have jumped on it. He would have done something right away. So obviously he was not convinced that she really did have suicidal thoughts. Harry has psychiatrists, because of his work with mental health professionals, he has mental health professionals on speed dial who he could have asked to come to their home to talk with Megan. So to say that she'd have to take an Uber and why she had to ask somebody next to the royal family, it makes no sense whatsoever. Now, also during pregnancy, a woman has hormonal fluctuations, we know that, and these fluctuations can cause mood swings and even suicidal thoughts. So there doesn't have to be any alleged royal drama for a pregnant woman to be depressed and to have thoughts of suicide. Now, again, I am not confirming, you know, I don't think she did have thoughts of suicide, or Harry would have picked up on it. Okay, so that's that. That's the suicide bombshell. That's why that's a fallacy. Now let's talk about the skin color, because that is particularly related to this cartoon. So why is the skin color issue a fallacy? Well, I know firsthand that first of all, as a physician and as someone who worked as a technical consultant and therapist for 3 years on a television program called Paternity Court. It was Emmy nominated, and it's a show where couples come to find out who the daddy is. And sometimes the couples come and the man who is there wants to be the daddy. Sometimes he doesn't want to be the daddy. And, you know, that's what builds up the suspense. And a number of these couples were two races, you know, that the father was one race and the mother was another race. Of course, I'm talking about black and white. They were mixed race couples. So now sometimes the men, depending upon whether they wanted to be the father or didn't want to be the father, they would say that they would look at the baby's skin. So like if they were black and the baby's skin was white, they would say, I can't be the father, or the baby would be black, or the baby would be brown. And so many times, and vice versa. And so many times it turned out that either that the man was the father, even though the baby didn't seem like what they would have expected in terms of color of the skin. So the bottom line is, what determines a baby's skin color is far more complex than just a mixture of how white one parent is and how black the other parent is. It's much more complicated. There's a lot of biology and genetics that go into this. So now most people don't understand this, the details of this. And so it really wouldn't be that, it wouldn't mean that somebody is racist if they express curiosity about what the baby's skin color is. And yet Megan has jumped on, assuming there was somebody. First of all, when she was talking to Oprah, she made it seem like the whole royal family was asking about, you know, the skin color, and they were like terrified that it was gonna be, you know, not pure white. And that isn't the case at all. And then Harry came out and he said, he alluded to, he was very vague, they were all very vague, but he alluded to the fact that there was one person and that they weren't going to say who it was. I mean, she kind of alluded to it being what, she sort of went back and forth whether it was one person or the whole family or whatever. So then he came out, what he said made it seem a lot less, you know, that it wasn't everybody clamoring to know this answer. So what's interesting is that Megan's father, some, you know, he has his problems, but he comes out with things, you know, he tells it like it is, and because he doesn't care about whether anybody likes him or not. So what he said was that if anyone connected to the royals asked about the skin color before the baby was born, it could easily have just been curiosity, a simple, dumb question, not a racist one. So that goes exactly with what I was saying before about my own experience with how people don't really get that. They don't understand all the complexities of skin color. Okay, now, the interesting psychological part to this is that Megan was saying, you know, basically the whole royal family was on edge. They couldn't wait to see what color the baby's skin was. Well, really, I believe that it was Megan who was concerned about what the color of the baby's skin was going to be. And she was just projecting these fears and concerns and anxiety onto the royal family. And why do I say that? Because she, you may remember this, that when she had her baby, it was not in the usual place where most royals have their baby, which is a more, public or accessible kind of place. She had her baby in a much more hidden kind of place, and she didn't pose for the royal photo that royals pose with when they have a baby. You might have remembered, you might remember Kate coming out with her babies and standing with William and holding the baby in her arms. And, you know, the photographers come and snap, snap, snap. They're all taking pictures. Well, Megan didn't do that. Why? Why didn't Megan do it if she didn't think that there was anything wrong with, or she wasn't afraid of what the baby's skin color was going to be? So really, this is all projection. and not racist. And people have come out since the interview, by the way, and they have said that, you know, many people have come out who work for the royals and who are Black and all different ethnic backgrounds and so on. And many people have said how not racist the royal family is. And I certainly believe the royal family is not racist. Okay, when we come back, I'm going to look a little bit into the background of the backstory of Charlie Hebdo, the magazine, because, again, what's important is to put this current cover that's sending everyone into a tizzy into the context of the magazine. So stay tuned. Welcome back to the Terrorist Therapist Show, where we're talking about Charlie Hebdo, cover of Meghan Markle, Lost in Translation. So now I'm going to give you a little, remind you actually, of some context of Charlie Hebdo, the French magazine. It is, as I was saying earlier, it's carrying on the ancient French tradition of satire. Of course, maybe when it started in ancient, when it was, you know, originally started, people weren't, there wasn't cancel culture at that time. So maybe people had more of an appreciation for it. But they have really gone through very hard times, as you'll hear, to keep this magazine alive, despite the fact that they were attacked by terrorists on several occasions, and because of cartoons that they put on the cover and inside and so on. There were terror attacks in 2011 and 2015 and 2020, and you know, primarily that had to do with controversial cartoons depicting the Prophet Muhammad. And, you know, so it's not just Meghan Markle who they are satirizing. It's, you know, it's she's in good company or bad company or whatever, however you want to look at it. So they did publish some pretty outrageous pictures, cartoons of Muhammad. They had him nude. They had him on all fours with a star covering his butt. They had him in various different positions and saying various things and so on. And that caused them to be on the bad side, to get on the bad side of Al-Qaeda and other radical Islamists. So in 2015, sort of the worst or the most famous attack was on January 7th in 2015, when two Islamist gunmen forced their way into the Paris headquarters of Charlie Hebdo and opened fire and killed 12 people, most of them who worked at the magazine. And at the time that they did it, they shouted, of course, Allahu Akbar, God is great. And the two gunmen were Saeed Kouachi and Sharif Kouachi. And they were French Muslim brothers of Algerian descent. And after this attack, that is where the hashtag Je suis Charlie, I am Charlie, started being adopted on Twitter and on other social media to show that you are, if you put it on your, you know, post, it shows that you are in solidarity with Charlie Hebdo in regard to freedom of speech and freedom of the press and all of that. Now, another incident, I mean, there was another important date, I guess, in the story of Charlie Hebdo, came in September 2020, when Charlie Hebdo published on the cover and in the magazine, republished, I should say, the same cartoons of Muhammad that they had published before that got all this controversy that, you know, resulted in the 2015 terrorist attack on them. And in they published it on September 1st, 2020, which was the day before the trial of the people who helped the perpetrators of the 2015 attack. So, you know, this was an important trial that went on in Paris, and they were in fact convicted, these people who aided the radical Islamists, the who attacked the magazine and a kosher market in 2015. And I actually did a previous podcast on this. It is called, so I would direct you to that if you'd like to hear that again. Maybe you've heard it once. The podcast came out on September 25th, 2020, and the title of it is Charlie Hebdo Republishing Cartoons, Freedom of Speech or Asking for Trouble. And I said, as the trial begins for the alleged accomplices to the Charlie Hebdo and kosher market attacks, controversial cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad have reappeared on the magazine cover. The editors have taken this risk because they are concerned that France and the rest of the world have forgotten the message of Je suis Charlie. After the tragic massacre of Charlie Hebdo editors, cartoonists, and other staff, this slogan united people in support of freedom of speech and freedom of the press. And I'm reading from my description of that previous podcast. And so this episode, you know, that episode of September 2020 takes you back to January 2015 and reminds you of what happened and why. It also puts the three terrorists who perpetrated these attacks on the couch, Sharif and Saeed Kouachi, the two brothers who attacked Charlie Hebdo, and Amadi Koulibaly, who attacked the kosher market. And so there was a backlash to the republishing of the cartoons. You know, there were lots of protests and so on, both in Paris and in France and in Pakistan. You know, so they did, there was a backlash, but clearly they do not regret, you know, publishing controversial things that are satirical and that are meant to make people think. Okay, it's not just for the hell of it. You know, even the cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad and the writings that were next to the cartoon, they were making a point. For example, there were things about Sharia law, how violent Sharia law is, and all of that kind of thing. If they are trying to make statements, satirical commentary, so that things in society will change for the better. Now, I also did another podcast on November 6th, 2020. That was a follow-up, and that was about the teacher. A teacher, and I'm reading from this description of the podcast, a teacher in a Paris suburb and a churchgoer in Nice were beheaded. I'm really focusing on the teacher. After Charlie Hebdo republished the cartoons on the eve of that trial, in 2020, you know, there were all these things that happened as a result. And one of the main things that happened is that a teacher named Samuel Paty, he was beheaded, and he was a beloved teacher. He brought history to life for his students. And that's what he was trying to do when he showed his class controversial cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad and allowed Muslims to leave if they were going to be offended. But one girl, now, so here, this is in the news now. This has come back into the news. So they beheaded him, a man, a Chechen teenager, Abdullah Anzorov, beheaded him. And that's because this girl, this 13-year-old girl, told her father that he had shown these cartoons in a way that was where he insulted the Prophet Muhammad and insulted Muslims and the religion of Islam and all of that. She made up, well, as it turns out, she made up the story. And when this happened, and even when I did this podcast, I remember talking about how there was something weird, something fishy about this girl and her story. And when she went home and told her father, and it turns out she wanted to make him happy because apparently her father was not, you know, was very sensitive to. We really haven't gotten that whole story, but she knew it would make her father happy. Let's put it that way. She knew it would make her father happy if she complained to him that there was this teacher who was showing these cartoons and who was insulting Islam. And so now it turns out that this girl has admitted that she was lying. She confessed that she was lying. Meanwhile, the teacher is dead. He is beheaded. We can't bring the teacher back. And she was lying. And she said that she made this story to please her father. She originally claimed that this teacher, who was 47 years old, had asked Muslim students to leave the class before he showed them cartoons of Muhammad during a class on free speech. She told her father that she was then suspended for 2 days after she challenged the teacher for sending Muslim students into the hall while he showed the blasphemous image. Now, of course, we don't know, you know, how much of this is, you know, exactly how many details of this are lies, other than the fact that the teacher was not trying to cast aspersions on Muslims or on Islam. So then she told her father this lie, and the father filed a legal complaint against the teacher, which then started a social media campaign against the teacher, which then this man, this Abdullah Anzarov, saw this online campaign and he was 18 years old, and he got excited by it, you know, moved to violence, and he went and he beheaded the teacher. And so 10 days after this girl lied, and after the social media campaign went on, that's when this Chechen terrorist beheaded him. And then there's been a lot of honoring of the teacher and so on. You may have seen that, all kinds of flags and posters and all of that honoring him. And what it did turn out to be was that the girl had been suspended the day before for failing to attend class, and she didn't want her father to know about the punishment. So she made up this whole story. Now, she has an attorney because she is in deep poo. Her attorney is saying that the girl wasn't in class, so technically she wouldn't know what the teacher said, but the attorney is saying that she wasn't in class because she was out sick that day, and she lied because she felt trapped in a spiral because her classmates had asked her to be a spokesperson. So here's the thing, you know, clearly there were other kids in the class. She wasn't there, but there were kids in the class who apparently, or unless she's lying about this too, it may have been that these classmates asked her to be a spokesperson against this teacher, trying to claim that he, you know, did this in a very, to ridicule Islam, which again was ever, after this happened, everyone came out talking about this teacher, and that is not what he was like. He used the cartoons to show freedom of speech. Anyhow, the girl's lawyer is saying that the father should be the one blamed for the fallout due to his, quote, excessive and disproportionate behavior, that is filing the legal claim and starting a whole social media campaign. So the girl has been charged with slander, and her father was arrested on suspicion of being complicit in a terrorist killing, because that is what you know, the beheading was a terrorist, that was a terrorist killing. So, oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we plan to deceive, plot to deceive, or whatever that saying is. It's really sad because this was a really good man, the teacher. You know, I'm sure you probably have heard some things about him. He did not deserve to be beheaded. Nobody deserves to be beheaded, for that matter. And now to get back to the current brouhaha of the Charlie Hebdo magazine cover. Again, you can see how it is being lost in translation. The cover, which is mocking Meghan Markle for her false claims of racism, not racism itself. Thank you for listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carol, your terrorist therapist.
If you would like to find out more about terrorism from me, your terrorist therapist, visit my website, terroristtherapist.com. And if you're a parent or teacher and want to build stronger nests for your kids to become more resilient, check out my new award-winning book, Lions and Tigers and Terrorists, Oh My, How to Protect Your Child in a Time of Terror. It's the first and only book about terrorism for kids. You can find it wherever books are sold or directly from the publisher at terrorismforkids.com. Terrorism, the number 4, kids.com. I'm Dr. Carol, your terrorist therapist.
Thank you for listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show on Renegade Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Carol. We hope listening to the show has made you feel calmer, more resilient, and more able to reach your dreams despite living in a time of terror. You can also check out past shows on Renegade Talk Archives for more insights.